Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.
Hello and welcome to Dining with Death. This episode is on my playlist, Dining with the Disappeared, where we talk about people who have vanished. We discuss the events surrounding their disappearance, and we talk a little bit about the place they have vanished from. I'm Stacey Lee. Let's begin. I have hesitated to cover this case because I have found that on this platform, anything that involves a child, there is a risk of me getting a strike on the video. I find that incredibly frustrating because cases involving children still need to be discussed. Missing children need to be found, and murdered children need to be talked about. Only by studying things that have happened can we learn from them. And only by talking about people who have been taken from us do we keep their memory alive. So I have decided to cover this case regardless because I think it's important. There have been some new developments and I'm going to make a video about it, even if that means this video might get a strike. On May 3rd, 2007, this beautiful little girl, only 3 years old, named Madeline McCann, was on vacation with her family at a resort in Praia da Luz, which sits in a little region of Portugal. She was with her parents, Kate and Jerry McCann, her two-year-old twin siblings, and a group of family and friends who also brought along their children. The family was having a fantastic week-long holiday at the resort, relaxing and spending time together. And on the evening of May 3rd, her parents did what they had been doing for the duration of the vacation. They put the children to bed in the ground floor vacation home, they call them apartments, and went to a restaurant to have dinner. Now, there has always been a lot of criticism about the parents leaving their children and going to dinner. So I want to clear something up really quickly. This place that they were having dinner, this restaurant, it's a tapas restaurant, is literally across the swimming pool from where their children were staying. As you can see here in this picture, it is just simply a walk across the swimming pool. And not only were they just across the swimming pool, they would literally take turns going back and forth checking on the children every 25 or 30 minutes. That's not really an issue for me. I've been camping and left a sleeping child in the camper and been, you know, 150 feet away. I don't really think that's the issue. I do think the issue is that they left the door unlocked. The sliding glass door was never locked when they left. And that is not something I would personally do, although I don't want that to come off as me saying this is in any way their fault, because of course it's not. Once again, the only person responsible for a crime is the person who commits the crime. Like I said, not only could the McCanns see the place where they were staying, but they could run to it in a matter of seconds if they needed to. At around 9:30 that evening, one of the parents took a turn to go and check on the kids. He returned to the table and reported all was well. 30 minutes later, Kate McCann, Madeline's mother, took a turn to go and check on the children at 10 p.m. She entered the apartment through the unlocked patio doors at the back and noticed that the children's bedroom door was wide open. When she tried to close the door, it slammed shut like there was a draft. And when this happened, Kate saw that the bedroom window and the outside shutter that covered it were also wide open. She looked down at Madeline's bed and saw that her pink blanket and her stuffed animal were still there, but Madeline was gone. I can't even imagine what that must have felt like. I was a very young mother and I was overprotective about a lot of things, but I still, you know, would be on a houseboat maybe and the kids would be downstairs and I'd be upstairs, or, you know, like I said, we'd go camping and they'd be over there in the camper and we'd be over here at the fire. You leave your kids, you know, knowing that you can get to them in a matter of seconds if you have to, but that doesn't mean something's not going to happen. And it is every parent's worst nightmare. Kate quickly searched the apartment. Her heart started pounding as she went room to room and realized that her daughter was not there. Now in a full panic, she ran, screaming towards the restaurant, yelling, "Madeline's gone. Someone has taken her." Jerry McCann, Madeline's father, sent Matthew Oldfield, the same person who had checked on the kids at 9:30, to the front desk to tell the staff to call the police. By 10:30 that night, the hotel had activated its missing child search protocol. 60 staff members at the resort began searching, along with the police, and they searched until 4:30 in the morning, still assuming Madeline would be found, that she had simply wandered off and would be there somewhere on the property. Sadly, that did not turn out to be the case. Two Portuguese police officers arrived at the resort around 11:30. These two police officers came from Lagos, which is about 5 miles from the resort. They didn't get there for almost an hour, so I'm a little confused about that. After these two police officers conducted a brief search, they alerted their department and more police were sent. Officers began searching waterways, sewers, caves, canals, anywhere they could think of, but they could not find Madeline. Now, what happens next? I would need 3 weeks worth of episodes to sit here and go over with you. Movies have been made about this case. Hours-long documentaries have been made about this case. There are conspiracy theories. There are online forums. There is so much information. And obviously, I just can't cover it all here today. The long and short of it is the Portuguese police officers botched this case. You thought JonBenet Ramsey was a botched job? This was that on steroids. They let people trample the crime scene. They walked around in the apartment without any coverings on their shoes or clothes. They dusted for fingerprints without gloves on. They let a crowd gather around the apartment. They let people stand around on the lawn and trample the area where the door had been opened and closed by the intruder. They just could not have done a much worse job investigating this crime than they did. And as we know, people like us that are into this kind of thing, when an investigation starts off that way, it's doomed from the beginning. The police didn't do house-to-house searches. They didn't put up any roadblocks. And they very quickly just immediately focused on the parents, which I get it. I'm all for looking at the people closest to the victims because statistically, that's normally who does the crime. That's the usual suspect, right? But you can't just get tunnel vision on just the parents. And they did exactly that. The McCanns are British citizens, so the British police got involved, but it was really too late for certain things to be investigated. The crime scene was already damaged. And like I said, immediately suspicion fell on the McCanns themselves. The McCanns vehemently denied they had anything to do with their daughter's disappearance, and they have always stuck by that claim. Now, as most of you know, I'm sure this investigation goes on for days and weeks, and there is never any trace of who took Madeline. There are a few things that we should note. There was apparently a note left in the reservation book at the restaurant that said to book the same table for the McCanns and their friends each night of their stay. This group became known as the Tapas Seven, seven people at the Tapas restaurant that would meet every night on the vacation and have dinner together. A lot of people believe that a predator saw that note and knew exactly when the McCanns would be out of their room and at the restaurant. And personally, I feel like this theory has some weight to it. And then we have the infamous sighting. Jane Tanner, one of the Tapas Seven, one of the people that dined with the McCanns every night, saw a man carrying a child that same evening. She had left the table around 9 o'clock to check on her own daughter. And when she did this, she passed Madeline's father, who was walking back to the table from the apartment after just checking on his own kids. So you can see this was not a situation like the press tried to portray it in the beginning, where these people dumped their kids off and just left them for dinner. They were across the pool from them and they were going back and forth. Frequently, so frequently that they were passing each other, checking on the kids. Now, after Jane passed Jerry McCann, she noticed this man carrying a young child walking across the junction of Rune Drive just ahead of her, not far from Madeline's bedroom. He was headed east away from apartment 5A, the McCann's apartment. The child in his arms was wearing light-colored pink pajamas with a floral pattern on them and cuffs on the legs, similar to those of Madeline's. Jane Tanner described the man as white, dark-haired, about 5'7" tall, of Southern European or Mediterranean appearance, about 35 or 40 years old, wearing gold or beige pants and a dark jacket. Another major blunder in this investigation is that Jane Tanner told the Portuguese police about this sighting, but they didn't alert the public about it until weeks later. And then they even ended up accusing Jane Tanner of making the entire story up. During the initial days and weeks of the investigation, there was still some hope that the little girl would be found.
Let's start. Last week, some very positive news from Scotland Yard. They said that they believe there's a reasonable chance of Madeline still being alive, and they identified nearly 200 leads that were worth following up. What was your reaction to that very positive news?
Well, I guess we've always said the first point you made there. We know there's a real possibility that Madeline can still be found alive. But I guess for us it was important to hear the police saying that after they've reviewed the evidence, or, you know, at least part of the way through the evidence.
I think it's excellent, and it's the most hopeful I think we've been since the early days, to be honest, Martin. And at this point, we know there's a tremendous resource, a very experienced team reviewing all the information, and a committed team with Detective Chief Inspector Redwoods leading, who really want to find Madeline and what happened. So if anyone does have information, evidence, this is the time to come forward, and we really are hopeful.
That hope soon turns to suspicion and rumor and more pain for the parents. Again, we don't have time for all the details, but the McCanns are basically accused of doing something to their daughter. Theories abound that they hurt her and had to make her disappear to cover up their crime, that she was abused, all the things you can imagine. Special prosecutors and investigators are brought in, and the case becomes a media sensation for weeks and then months. Months after the disappearance, British sniffer dogs are brought in, fibers are collected, and it just all kind of goes nowhere. The McCanns are not officially cleared for 2 years, and by that point, they were not on good terms with the investigators. The McCanns, of course, stayed at the resort for weeks and made many trips back and forth searching for their daughter, but no sign of her has ever been found. Now, there has been some updates on this case, and police in Germany believe they have a very solid suspect. I'm going to lay the details out for you, and you can decide for yourself. A man came onto police radar who is being called Christian B by the German press. He is currently in a German prison. He has a history of abusing children and committing other crimes involving drugs. Now, this man worked off and on at the resort where Madeline disappeared. He has not been officially questioned by the police, but he is already vehemently denying that he had anything to do with the vanishing and claims that it is absurd that he would have abducted a little girl. He said, quote, "I was never caught by police as a criminal because I followed a few key principles so as not to attract attention." He's in prison, so I don't think his key principles served him very well. German prosecutors believe this man abducted Madeline, and they have been building a case against him for 3 years. But he has not been, like I said, officially questioned, and of course he has not been arrested. They announced that they had this new suspect in summer of 2020. Now, since then, there have been several articles that have come out, some from just a few weeks ago, stating that Christian B may have an alibi that will prove he was 30 minutes from the resort at the time of Madeline's disappearance. But police have already refuted that, saying there is a separate witness, or maybe multiple witnesses, that will place Christian at the resort on the night of the vanishing.
Well, now we have that new information that there is a suspect in this case. Authorities also saying they do not believe that McCann is alive. They're not releasing the name of that suspect, but they say he's currently in a German prison on an unrelated matter. That's according to the United Kingdom's Metropolitan Police. The German prosecutor described this suspect as a offender with several previous convictions who has been convicted of children, among other things. That prosecutor added he is already serving a long prison sentence.
As it stands right now, Madeline McCann is still a missing person. Investigators have stated they do not believe she is alive. There are, of course, all kinds of conspiracy theories and some very crazy ones out there. I'm all for looking into any possibility, but I'm a little fed up with conspiracy theories at the moment. And I don't think that these people understand how much damage they do when they throw these wild theories out there that are based in absolutely nothing. It causes more pain for the parents. It hurts the family, and it doesn't do anything to be constructive towards the case. We true crime people get accused of, you know, being ghoulish and liking to talk about these dark things. And yes, we do find them interesting, but there are things that we can do to help. Keeping the case alive by talking about it is helpful. And I know a lot of you have probably heard about this case and looked into this case and learned a little bit about it. And I wanted to bring you the fact that there has been an update. I can't imagine what the McCann family has been through. My heart really goes out to them. And I certainly hope that at some point in the near future, there is some kind of closure on this case. Now, as we always do on this playlist, we talk a little bit about the place where the person vanished from. And because this is Dining with Death, that place sometimes is a restaurant or a bar. This beautiful resort is the last place Madeline was seen. Apartment 5A was finally closed down. Tourists are no longer allowed to stay in that villa, but it did take a while for that to happen. This is the Tapas restaurant located at the resort Madeline McCann disappeared from. This restaurant is part of the Ocean Club at Praia da Luz. It serves all the small bites tapas restaurants are known for, little bites of seasoned shrimp, sausage, olives, cheeses, and of course they have a great assortment of wine. I found a lot of conflicting information on whether or not this restaurant is still open. TripAdvisor makes it seem as though it is still operating, but others said it's either closed or it's changed names or changed hands. So I can't give you a firm answer on whether or not it's still the same exact place the McCanns dined that night. But I can say with all certainty that this is a horrifying story. Every parent's worst nightmare, and one that we can all agree needs some closure. I wish there was more that I could do, but I'm doing what I can. I'm sharing the story, and I'm hoping for some closure for the family. Thank you for joining me today on Dining with Death, Dining with the Disappeared. Like the video if you liked it, and subscribe to the channel if you would like to see more. It really does help me. Stay safe and be kind to each other, and I'll see you next time on Dining with Death. Bye.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? And sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object. Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.